Okay, I'm going to start that again. So we're back. We're week two of our Romans study. And last week we talked about the good news about faith. And this week we're shifting our focus over to hope. And I don't know about you guys, but I sensed a lot of similarities as I was working through the beginning part of this week's homework, to the point that I had to flip back and just make sure I wasn't like on the wrong pages, because there was a lot of faith talk and not so much mention of the word hope. But we are talking about hope. And it's no surprise that faith and hope go hand in hand. You know, some people have even made the mistake of like using them interchangeably. And we learned this week that that's just not the case. There is a very big distinction between having faith and then having hope, and that's what we're going to talk about this week. Part of the study or part of the homework asked us to think about the difference or like the definitions of the word faith and hope, and so I wanted to just take a quick moment to kind of point out those definitions. I looked it up like in the dictionary. So the dictionary defines faith as complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And hope is defined as a feeling of expectation or desire for a certain thing to happen or a feeling of trust. And so what I wanted, really, when I looked at these definitions, I wanted to touch on them because there's faith with the complete trust, and then hope in like our world today, so outside of the Bible, hope is a feeling. So it's we're feeling hopeful. It's not anything definite. Right? It's a fleeting feeling that you might have in the morning of like hoping to have a good day, hoping that there's no rain, hoping that there is rain, those types of things. So when we define it like outside of the Bible and outside of our relationship with God, it's very much tied to feelings. And the book, Melissa gave us the Greek word, which I don't have written down, so I won't say it, but that Greek word was defined as the expectation of good. So we have an expectation of good things when we have hope, and our hope is in God. Our hope is in Jesus. So we're not having faith or hope in an idea or a concept. It's a person. It's a supernatural God that we put our faith and hope into. Okay? And so I wanted to do that so that we can kind of keep those definitions in mind as we go through tonight. So Paul takes this opportunity while speaking to the church in Rome to remind fellow believers, which includes us today when we read the word, of Abraham. And not just Abraham, but God's promise to him and his family, and how that the moment we make that choice to have faith and believe in God, we become members of the family. And this is not through genetics. I'm sure that there are people out there that can link their ancestry back to Abraham. I didn't do it, but I can almost confidently say I probably don't have any like genetic connection to Abraham, but we're talking about a spiritual connection. It's a spiritual family, just like church. When we talk about church with a capital C, we are the body of Christ. We are a family because of our faith and our belief in God. That is what we're, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that is what Paul is referring to and making the connection here. When we live by faith in Christ, we can claim Abraham as our father, and we are part of the family that God has made his promises to. So that promises that God has made to Abraham and his family are now promises that God makes to us. We can take those promises as if God made them directly to each one of us. As I mentioned at the beginning, there are a lot of similar points between this week and last week. So we're reminded that Abraham believed God and the promises he made, and this is what made him righteous in God's eyes. We're reminded that it's not through our works, it's not through obedience to the law or following any set of rules, through faith alone. Through faith and hope alone in God, we are considered righteous just as Abraham was. All right. Paul hones in on the importance of building and being part of a faith community. So we're a part of this spiritual family, and that's a given as soon as we believe in God. But we also have to take our own steps to build our own community and to immerse ourselves in what Melissa referred to as a faith family. So surrounding yourself with other believers, other people that believe the same things that you do, that can be encouraging to you and support you and guide you and be, physically present with you during the hard times. And during the good times as well, we always need people to celebrate with us. So it's not just when you're feeling sad, but when you're feeling so happy and you have such good news that you can't wait to share it with someone, knowing that you have a faith family or you have a community of your sisters in Christ that you can turn to is equally as important. Through church, the church you attend, serving opportunities you take advantage of, joining a small group, participating in Bible study, we are building community and surrounding ourselves with fellow believers to help us through all walks of life, through all of our phases of life. I remember the first thing I did when I came back to faith was I joined a Bible study group at a church that I just started attending where I knew nobody, and I just looked on the website and I looked on the list and I was like, this name looks nice. This group is probably great. And I ended up with Becky Luther's group and Donna upstairs. We met in the lobby. And I was the youngest of the group, so I already was like, what did I get myself into? Because my experience with older believers and older Christians, my experience with this church was that my opinion wasn't valued and that I wasn't going to be right. Whatever answer I gave, whatever I was talking about, it wasn't going to fit. And that just wasn't the case. My first Bible study group changed the game for me even more so than the church services did. And so that's how impactful small groups can be. I'm a part of a group called MOPS, which is Moms of Preschoolers. And not only did I join the group, but I was like, hey, make me the head of the group. Yeah. I had two small babies at home. They were having an end of the year party. And I was like, why not? That could be fun. And someone who knew me looked over and was like, you know what, Jessica? You look like just the person to step into this role. And wow, like as overwhelming as stepping into a leadership role can be, just to have it be with a group of moms going through the same phase of life as I am, having the same parenting questions and doubts and worries is so helpful. And also to have that biblical, that God-centered focus be a part of it as well, to keep me on track and to remind me where my priority needs to be and where my focus needs to be, even though I have two little ones running around that keep my attention only on them all times of the day. And so I just wanted to take a moment. The book asked you to do it. Sorry. But to think about where God is calling you to put more time and attention into when it comes to your faith family. Because we have a tendency to want to keep our group small, which is fine. I have like three friends, realistically. If I was like, the ones that have seen me in my pajamas and messy hair, the ones that come over at all times. Like I have my three like core friends, but I have so many friends in my faith family. I have so many women that I could consider family because of joining a small group, being a part of Bible study, taking opportunities to serve. And so think about what might be on your heart when it comes to growing your family. We are a large church family. We can never have too big of a faith family or a community in Christ. And since faith and hope are so closely related, I wanted to make sure that we stay on track, keeping the focus on hope. And so that being said, I wanted to ask a question that, again, was posed in the study homework, which I shared in my group very honestly. I didn't do so well on. And that was, how would you rate your hope level when it comes to things you want to happen? And it doesn't matter how big or how small it is. Everyone's perspective and priorities are different. And I admitted that my hope level is a lot lower than even I thought it was. I thought that I was doing pretty well in that department. But as I sat back and thought about some different things that I was hoping for, we were, we're looking at growing our car family, so to speak. So we were looking at minivans. And so we were really hoping, and a lot of things were falling through. So I was hopeful. I was expecting that would happen. Because that's something that we really did need. And so I was like, that will be fulfilled. But I was really leaning more into like the cynical kind of like half glass empty kind of things. And that had a lot more weight than the hope that I had in getting the minivan. And so that's a small example. It's a big priority to me. But everybody has something that is a big priority to them. And my hope just wasn't with it. I was like, okay. I didn't know I was so pessimistic. I didn't know that I was looking at it more half glass empty. I never thought of myself as that person. But this week, this question really brought me back and had me sit and think in that. And so we compare that to Abraham's faith. Romans 4:18, even though there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing he would be the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And if you know the story of Abraham and his wife, Sarah, the idea of Abraham's wife having children seemed impossible. Abraham was thinking, I couldn't possibly be the father of many nations. I haven't even had a single child. How is that even possible? And it wasn't that Abraham ignored that fact. He was realistic, as we should be. We should stay a little bit realistic of the world that we're living in and the things that happen. But he believed in a supernatural God, a God that could bring the dead back to life and make new things out of nothing. And that's the same God that we believe in. So it wasn't that he knew that it was probably impossible, but not for his God. And his God is the one that made the promise to him. So if God promised him that he was going to be the father of many nations, that was just going to happen. He knew that God wasn't going to go back on his word. And again, this is the same God we serve today, the same God who made his promises to Abraham, makes the same promise to those who believe in him. Hope is the expectation of good, even when we're suffering, even when things have taken a turn for the worst, and even when there is no reason for it. We can have hope in our God's promises that he can make good from all things. If God says he will do it for us, then it is going to be done. And we all know that there is a difference between our time and God's time, and what God sees as an answer and what we see as an answer. And so we can continue to have hope even if we're not seeing the results or the answers that we think we should be seeing, because we have a God who keeps his promises. And we can stand firm on that. Oh God. Skipped a whole paragraph, guys. All right, we're doing great. So leading into that, or coming off of that, so in March of 2020, my husband and I, we had our first daughter. And while we began our journey as parents, a few weeks later, the world went into pandemic mode. And we were all reminded on a global scale just how important community is and those who are around us. And you think you know how important the people in our lives are, and then something like this happens where you have like zero access to them physically. I know there's Zoom, so it's a little bit, it goes back and forth. But that isolation really reminded us how important it is to be physically with people and surrounded by people. And honestly, I know there was a lot of suffering. There was a lot of loss. But Chris and I were having a pretty great year, all things considered. And we weren't blind or ignorant to the suffering around us. But we were kind of enjoying the isolation and the bubble that we were in with our new family of three. We had no interruptions, no one asking to hold the baby, no interruptions, no unwarranted parenting advice. We were just allowed to soak up all the time with our bundle of joy. And it just felt like a great year to us overall as a whole. And just like everyone's year, 2020 didn't go quite as expected for us. Our daughter's first year didn't go as expected. And not just because of the pandemic, but in August of the same year, I lost both my grandmothers within a day of each other. And it was an intense time, just like intense grief. Like we had just been like hit by a wall. All of a sudden, all of our bliss just got knocked out of us. Like the wind just got knocked out of us. And our whole family was mourning and, you know, trying to dig through that grief. And it was definitely not what any of us were expecting. And again, when I think back on that year, I'm not ignorant or blind to the grief or sorrow that people experienced or that we experienced as a family. But when I look back on that year, I see the blessing of having a child during the pandemic. I see the hope that comes with watching that child grow. I saw the joy that having that child brought to my family while they were trying to sift through all of these awful feelings. And I saw them have something to focus on, something to hone in on, which was such a blessing. And it was also a reminder of how our suffering in our lives will continue to push us closer to God. 2020 was also the same year that I came back to faith and rededicated my life to Christ. And I just think I wanted to tell that story and bring up coming back to Christ because when I look on it now, a little bit, just a tiny bit more seasoned, right? 3 years, it's not a long time, but I feel quite seasoned for coming back in the church life. I grew up in church. When I was a teenager, I did make the choice to put my faith in Christ. And then when I turned 18, I walked away. But I did make that choice to believe. And so I just had the reminder that it doesn't matter how far we go, God will continue to bless those that put their faith in him. It doesn't matter how far you turn. It doesn't matter how long it's been. There's no such thing as going too far to where you can't come back to Christ. There are many blessings that we receive when we put our faith and hope in Christ. The book touched on three of them. One being peace with God because of what Christ did for us. And I can say that in 2020, when I rededicated myself, it really came from a moment of just peace. I was overwhelmed with a calm in the midst of it. It was like our first holidays without the grandmothers. You know, it was first holiday for Cece, my little 3-year-old now. And I just felt peace. Everything around me felt like it was going wrong, but I was just overwhelmed with the feeling of peace and that everything was going to be okay. And that's when I knew. And that's what God does for us. That's a way that he reminds us of his presence, is by giving us that peace in the middle of suffering and hard times. The second blessing that we receive is our access to God. The books called it undeserved privilege, which is an understatement, I feel like sometimes for me especially, but we get 24/7 access 365 days out of the year. God doesn't have office hours. He doesn't close the door in your face because it's too late. It could be 2 a.m, 4 p.m. It doesn't matter. We are able to come to him and have community and relationship with him. And not just that, but we can talk to him about anything, literally anything. I told my group, and it'll sound like a silly story, but I hit a squirrel last week. And for 10 minutes, I felt like I needed to just talk to someone, and God was like the only person there that I truly felt was going to just be there and listen. And that's the thing. I could talk to him about the squirrel that I hit. I can talk to him about the sadness and grief that I felt when I lost my grandmothers. I can talk to him about the joy of having my first child, of being a mom. I can talk to him about the anxiety that goes with that. Anything, at any time. He's never going to say, no, not right now. He's never going to tell me he's not in the mood or that he's too tired. And that's for all of us. All at the same time. We can all be in community. He's listening to every single one of us. Always. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There will be There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. He is always there when we need him. No matter what, you could walk away from your faith for years, and he's still right there. He's pursuing you, but he's right there the moment that you turn and want to talk to him. The moment that you say, I need you, Lord, he is there. And that is what he gives us. That is our hope in God. That is an expectation that we have and that we can stand on. And then we can look forward to sharing God's glory. All of the promises that he gave us, we can expect that those things are coming. Even when we can't see it, it's on his time, not ours. So it might feel like forever, or we might not get the answer in this lifetime, but the promise is still kept. And that's, again, something that we can stand on, that we can hope for. Our faith and our hope is not in an idea or a philosophy or a concept. It's in a person. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, a supernatural God who can bring the dead back to life and make new things out of nothing. And that is the God we put our hope in. That is why we can have hope. We can choose to have faith and believe that he is who he says he is, and we can have hope and expect that he is going to make good on all of the promises he has made. Even in our dark times, even in the suffering, in the happy times, we can hope and expect good things to come because our God keeps his promises to all that believe in him. Remember to keep your feet on the ground and our eyes fixed on Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time that we've had this evening. Thank you so much for your promises and that we've been given this free gift through our faith, and we can hope and believe in you no matter what we're seeing, because you are a God that can do anything. I'm so thankful for having full access to you and for having you as a God that wants us to utilize and come to you no matter what time of day it is, no matter what we're coming to you with. You want us to come to you. I pray over the women in this room that, you know, they can feel you with them. They can feel the confidence to trust in your promises and to take those promises as their own. I pray that everyone gets home safely and that everyone just enjoys this time spending it in your word, and that we'll see you all next week. And I pray all of this in your name. Amen. Amen.